Good morning, everyone. So we're going to pick up with Gimel Amud Aleph. Just we'll review the Gemara that we were covering last time, and then we'll continue the discussion that we began last time. So if you look in the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, we're up to the we'll start again from the Lishna Achrina, and that's the focus of our discussion this morning. So the Gemara says top line of Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says Lishna Achrina, Amri La Savrua Mai Mechitza Plukta. Right, so we're trying to figure out what the definition of a kotzel is in the Mishnah. So the Gemara had two lashonos. So one is that the definition of kotzel is kimashma, that it really means kotzel, and that the word mechitza also means kotzel, and that's what you have to build when you split a property. But an alternative reading is that the word mechitza in our context means plukta, that they're going to subdivide the property. Dichsiv, as we have a pasuk, that implies vatihi mechetasa eida, that you split the people into groups, and that's a plukta. V'kivan duratsu, and for the fact that the Mishnah says that they wanted to build a wall, bonus akoso bal karchan. Once they agree that they want to build a wall, so then they could be forced to build a wall. Alma, hezek riyashme hezek. That proves that privacy, invasion of privacy is in fact a valid form of damage that can be compensated for in halacha, because we know that it means that you could force the guy to build a wall. So the only way you could force a guy to build a wall is if in fact the hezek riyah is in fact shme hezek. So the Gemara says, "Ema mai mechitza guda." So why don't we try the other way? Maybe it means a real wall. Mechitza. How do I know? Ditanya mechitza karam shnifritza omer lo gador nifritza omer lo gador. That if you have a fence and I tell you to patch up the wall, nisyai shemen of lo gadra. You give up hope and you don't. He doesn't fix it. Hareza kidesh. Then the fruits become klayim between the two fields. V'chayv b'achrisa, as we said last time, and you are chayv to pay for the damage. V'taima deratzu. So why is it that he has to put up the wall when you tell him to put up the wall? Because they both want the wall. Halo ratsu, but if they didn't want the wall, ein mechayven oso. Al mehezek ri'ya lav shmehezek. Right? So if you go with the alternative reading, you could prove that hezek ri'ya is in fact not hezek, and you can't force the guy to put up the wall, in which case any damage on is your own problem. So the Gemara says, if that were true, and that the definition of mechitza in our Mishnah means a wall, and therefore you could force him to put up a wall, ihachi, bonin es hakosel, bonin osomi boile. The Mishnah shouldn't say hashutvin shiratsu to put up a mechitza, they should build a wall. It should just say they should build it, if the word mechitza means a wall. Elamai plukta. So it must be that our Mishnah means that they want to divide. That when the Mishnah says hashutvin shiratsu lasos mechitza, what it really means is that they want to make a mechitza between them, not necessarily a specific mechitza, but they want to subdivide the property. So then the Gemara says, okay, ihachi, if it's true that the way we're going to read our Mishnah is that it means a division, shiratu la'asos mechitza, shiratu la'chatzos mibayle. The Mishnah should just it should not say la'asos mechitza, it should say hashutvin shiratu la'chatzos. They want to split. They want to dissolve the partnership. Kadamri inchi, tanavid plugta. Like people say, let's split, right? We had a couple weeks ago in the parsha Vayera, right? Avram and Lot. Avram says, you go that way, I'll go this way, right? We're going to split. V'ihazik ri'iyah shmehazik. And if you're going to tell me that ultimately hezek ri'iyah is a form of damage, so my iriyah ratsu, who cares if they want? Afilu lo ratsu nami. Even if they don't want, they should be forced to put up a wall. Why? Because one is damaging the other. So there has to be a way to stop the damage. So amrav asi, amrav yochanan. So mishnah senu kishein ba din chalukah. Our Mishnah is talking about where the space of this chatzer is not sufficient to subdivide the property into proper amounts of space for each party. V'hu duratsu. And the reason why they're splitting is because both parties still want to split. So my kamashmalan. So what does that teach us? Techiles badin chaluka kiratsu palgi. If you're going to tell me that what it comes to teach us in the Mishnah is that when there's not enough space to subdivide, that if they want to, they could split, tanina. I already have a brisa that tells me exactly that halacha. Emasai, when is this true? Bizman she'in shneim rotzim. Avo bizman she'shneim rotzim. Afilu pachos mikan cholkin. If they both want, the brisa says, they can split. It doesn't matter what the size of the land is. So the Gemara says, no. Let me tell you why I need our Mishnah, and let me tell you why I need that brisa. Ime hasam, if I only had it from that brisa, hava amina, I would have said, afilu pachos mikan b'mesibas ba'alma. If it's less than a din chalukah, I can't force you to build a wall, but we could put up a flimsy kind of palisade, something just to block the sight lines. Kamashmalan hacha kosel. Therefore, our Mishnah comes to tell us that it's true. I can't force if there's less than a din chaluka, if there's less than 8 amos for each person, if 4 amos for each person, total of 8 amos. I can't force you to split, but in the event that we agree to split, it has to be a wall. not a mesipas. Mesipas is not sufficient. V'lisni ha v'lisni hach. Okay, so then just tell me the Mishnah and don't tell me the Braisa. So who cares about the Braisa? Just tell me the Mishnah and I'll know that the only way that I could ever put up a wall if we agreed to split is with a wall. I never put up a mesipas. I don't need the Braisa. So Gemara says, no. Seifa etzrichale. I need the Braisa for the last case of the Braisa, which is the Kitzvei HaKodesh, the scrolls that we read from, Afal pi sheshneim rotzim lo yachloku. So if two guys buy a Sefer Torah together, and then they want to split, you can't cut it in half and give one half of the Sefer Torah to one guy and one half to the other guy. That doesn't work. And we'll talk about, when we get to Gud or Agud, we'll talk about how we dissolve a partnership where you can't split the property and it has to all belong to one person. Okay. So this is where we stopped in the Gemara. Yeah. It belongs to you. It's your property. And so then therefore the Mishnah is coming to tell you. The Braisa comes to teach you that you can't do that. Not allowed. You can split anything. Why shouldn't I be allowed to split anything? It belongs to me. I'm not saying you're going to cut it down the middle in the words. We'll cut it. We'll cut where it says the end of Sefer Vayikra. So we'll cut each one into a different Sefer. Nu. Vayikra is a little shorter. Bamidbar is a little shorter. Bereish is a little longer. We'll make a pshara. Right? It's not crazy. Saying the mission itself in Maseches Megillah tells us that they had Chumashin, that they had Sefer Torah that were not written as all five books of the Torah in one scroll, but rather each Sefer of Chumash was written in a different scroll. And that's what they used to learn from. So it's not impossible to say that I could take a Sefer Torah and cut it into pieces if I have into five different books and subdivide. Why not? Five guys own a Sefer Torah. We'll give one should get a Chumash. So the mission is coming to tell you that we don't do that. Kitzvei HaKodesh are never split. They're an entity unto themselves. There's no subunit that they could be divided into. Fine. So the question that we have to address in this Gemara, before we get to the Gemara itself has a problem with this answer, and the Gemara has a solution to that answer. We're going to address that next. But the first question we have to address here is, what exactly is Hezek Re'iyah? Because it seems like the Gemara thinks that the halacha at the end of the day is that Hezek Re'iyah is Shmei Hezek. And in fact, most of the Rishonim paskin that way. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, everybody says Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, and it follows the second approach of the Gemara. Right? We had two approaches in the Gemara, one to prove Hezek Re'iyah La Shmei Hezek, one to prove Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. And it seems that the Gemara's implication at the end of the day is that Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. And that's why we have at the end this answer of what our mission is coming to tell us. It's Ein Badin Chalukah. That seems like how Rov Rishonim understand the Sugya. Fine. So we have a very simple question. If Hezek Re'iyah really is Shmei Hezek, and that's how we paskin, so how could it be that if it's Ein Badin Chaluka, right, which is the case of our Mishnah, the only way I can force you to put up a wall is if you and I both agree to do it? How could it be, if you're causing me damage by looking inside of my property, how can I not force you to put up a wall? You're damaging me. Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. Now, if you told me Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek, okay, I understand. It's annoying, but you're not damaging me. It's just annoying. So I can't force you to put up a wall unless there's enough space for both of us to subdivide, right? That's a very nice reading of the Mishnah. But if we're going to go with the reading of the Mishnah, which all the Rishonim seem to hold the halacha, saying the Mechaber brings it down in Simen Kufr and Zayin LaHalacha, that this is the halacha. The Torah, in fact, says it straight up. He says, V'hilchasa, he opens Simen Kufr and Zayin, which is the halachos of Shutz v'Bekarka, how to have partnership in land. And he literally said, first line, before Sif Aleph, it's the heading, Hilchasa Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. That's the line in the Torah. Everybody holds Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. So if you're going to work with that in the Mishnah, so how could it be that I cannot engage you to subdivide our land unless you agree to it? You're actively damaging me. How could it be? Yeah.
Because you could say that Hezek Re'iyah doesn't apply in a case where there's just not enough land to break up.
Very good.
You know, there is no...
So the Ramban says exactly that. The Ramban assumes, and seems like the Rashba agrees, and it seems like most of the Rishonim seem to agree. I actually think the Rush does not agree, but we're going to talk about the Rush in a couple of minutes. The Ramban says like you. The Ramban says very simply that anything that's less than a din chalukah, he has it a little bit different, but he says that anything that's less than a din chalukah can't be subdivided. Why? Because if it's less than a reasonable split between both parties, it's not large enough for what he calls diras adam. It's not a sufficiently large enough space to consider it living space. And if it's not living space, so then there's no Hezek Re'iyah. Because if it's not living space, so then you're not doing anything there. And if you're not doing anything there, so then there's no Hezek Re'iyah, right? What's the whole damage of Hezek Re'iyah? That I'm going to watch you while you're taking care of your private business, right? You're washing the underwear, and you don't want people to watch you while you're washing, doing the laundry. It's not nice. Okay, but if it's a tiny little space, So then that's not considered a place where people do their laundry. And therefore, it's not subject to the rules of Hezekiah. That's what the Ramban says. Now, here's the problem with that. We have a problem with that. Turn to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel. So turn ahead to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel, Amid Aleph. It's actually the last, it's the last line of Chaf Beis, Amid Beis. So we're going to read the Gemara here, and then we're going to talk about a problem that we're going to have with our Gemara. So the very bottom, last line of Chaf Beis, Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef Havale Ano Tali. Rav Yosef had these trees, these date palms. Dahava Asu Umni V'yasvi Tosayu. And blood letters would used to come, and they used to hang out under his date palms. It was a convenient, nice, shady place to do business. And the blood letters would come and set up shop, and people would come, and they would stick out their arms, the guy would slice, and the blood would fall to the floor, and the guy would, you know, tie up a bandage, and you'd go on your merry way, right? It's for health purposes. Open up a doctor's, they opened up a doctor's office under the palm trees of Rav Yosef. Va'asu orvi, and ravens would come, achli dama, and they would eat the blood from the floor, v'salkia betali, and they would trample all over the dates and all over the trees. Umafsidi tamri, and they would ruin the quality of the dates. Right? So if anybody's walked outside of buildings in Manhattan that have pigeon problems, so you know what happens when lots of birds come and hang out on your date palms or on your window ledge in Manhattan, right? Same kind of thing. So nobody finds that very pleasant. So Rav Yosef in particular did not enjoy that his dates from his trees were being ruined by this flock of ravens that was coming to hang out and eat the blood that was being let out by the blood letters. So Amar Lahu Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said to these guys, Afikuli Kurkur Mehacha, take your business and get lost. I don't want these chattering birds here anymore. Gone. Bye. Zaygizun Shtark, find somewhere else to do your business. So Amar Le Abaye. That's the story. So Rav Yosef had these trees. These guys came. Rav Yosef said, okay, it's enough. I had enough. Get lost. That's the story. So Abaye says, V'hagramahu. Abaye says, what right does Rav Yosef have to kick people out of public property? Okay, it's under his trees. It's annoying his trees. But where they were sitting is not Rav Yosef's land, presumably. So Abaye says, it's grama. The fact that the birds are coming and ruining the dates, that's not the fault of the blood letters. The blood letters are just letting blood. The fact that now the birds are coming due to something that they, who cares? Grama bin Zakhin is potter. So Amar Lei, so they said back to Abaye, Hachi Amar of Tuvi Bar Masna, Zos Omeres, this proves grama bin Zakhin is usser. That even if you're going to tell me that grama is potter, which it is, it's still prohibited for you to cause, be the cause of someone else's damage. So even if you're not directly the cause of the damage, even if you're only the indirect cause of the damage, it is prohibited for you to do so. And therefore, you must stop yourself from indirectly causing that damage. So then the Gemara says that we have a problem. The achziklu. Okay, but I have a chazaka. Now, what does that mean, I have a chazaka? For many months, these blood letters were sitting under the trees and doing their business, and Rav Yosef didn't say boo. And now, all of a sudden, Rav Yosef woke up one morning and he said, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. Get lost. And the blood letters should respond. They didn't, but they should have responded. What do you mean? We have a chazaka. We've been here for X number of days, months, years, and you never said anything. So why have you all of a sudden now have the right to make us go away? We're not doing anything wrong. Okay, you want to tell me Grama ben Izakin is us? Fine. But you were okay with it. You didn't say anything until now. So where is your right to throw us out?
What type of chazaka?
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. Hold that thought for just 1 second. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Ein Chazaka L'Nizakin. Too bad. No such thing as a chazaka. You could continue to damage me for as long as I'm able to be handling it. And if I decide one day I can't handle it anymore, tough, no chazaka. I'm off the hook. You guys get lost. That's it. Game over. So the Gemara says, well, Itmar Allah, don't we explain that halacha about a chazaka? Rav Mari Amar Bekutra of Rav Zvid Amar Beisakise, that what are we talking about when it says that you don't have a chazaka for Nizakin? It's from smoke damage or from nasty smell damage because you opened up a public outhouse right next to my property. I don't want that there, right? At first I thought that if you open a bathhouse or an outhouse right next to me, okay. Or if you set up a kiln right next to me, it's very convenient. I have this public service right next to my house. That's great. Okay, but after 6 months, I realize, you know, it's the summer now. It's really not so enjoyable to have smoke wafting through your windows in the summer when it's hot, or to have the nasty smell of a bathroom coming through your house when it's hot outside. You don't want that. So you know what? I've had enough. Bye. Zagizun Shtark. So there, okay, I don't have a chazaka. But here, Rav Yosef allowed these blood letters to sit there for so many months. So I should be able to say, what do you mean? Clearly you have no problem with me being here, so you don't have the right to now wake up one morning and say, get lost. So Amar Lay, they said back to them, Hani Lididi Da'anina Datoi Ki Kutcher Vesakise Damuli. No, 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 no. Rabbi Yosef says, you're right. It's taka true that in general, the only times that there's no chazaka for nizakin, when it's in this type of nezek, is for something as damaging as smoke or smell. But, Rav Yosef says, for me, I'm a mefunuk. I can't handle this kind of nastiness. So for me, it's the same thing. The birds, you know, doing what birds do on all of my dates, that's too much for me to handle. It's the same thing as an outhouse or as smoke. I thought I could handle it, and from now on, I can't handle it anymore. And therefore, the chazaka is not a chazaka, and therefore they have to leave. That's the Gemara over here. So we're going to come back to what kind of chazaka this is in a minute. But what's the point of this Gemara? Right? It's not Hezek Re'ia, but it's a type of Hezek that at points people were okay with, and then only later they said, okay, get lost. And in most cases, the Gemara would say, you can't force me to get lost. So now let's go back to our Gemara, right? Using this principle. So Hezek Re'ia, and Dav Gimel Amidav. Okay, so I asked you, our Mishnah is comfortable saying Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek, but not for less than a Din Chalukah. Okay, so we have Steve's answer, right? The Ramban's answer. It's not Roy for Diras Adam, and therefore it's not Shaykh to talk about Hezek Re'ia. But I would go one step further. If we had a partnership in this Chatzar until now, where you and I have never had a problem, so then why all of a sudden can I wake up one morning and say, even if there is a Din Chalukah, if there is Eid Amos, how could I wake up and say, I want to build a wall, you have to join me. I'm going to force you to build a wall. Why can't you just answer to me, what do you mean? I have a chazaka. I've been here for 15 years. Why are you going to force me to build a wall today? Exactly. And that's a great question, right? It makes a lot of sense. So why does the Gemara assume that if there is a din chalukah, I could force you, and if there's not a din chalukah, I can't force you? So the Rush has a very interesting answer. The Rush suggests an answer to this question. He said, in normal times, where does a chazaka for nizakin apply? A chazaka for nizakin applies where I'm the mazik. I'm the one damaging you. So in the case of Rav Yosef, right, who has the chazaka there? The bloodletters. The bloodletters are the one who are the indirect cause of the damage, but they're the ones who have the chazaka, right? Rav Yosef is the one being damaged. He didn't say anything for X number of time, however long the chazaka is, whatever type of chazaka it's going to be. Leave that for now. Right? But either way, the bloodletters are the one who have the chazaka. They're the ones causing the damage, and they're the ones saying, what do you mean? You said it's fine. You clearly didn't have a problem with it. So we are operating here. You can't throw us out. Okay, so there's an exception in that rule where there we could throw him out. So why is that not applicable to our case here at Daf Gimel? Say the same thing. So the Rush says very simply. Says, brilliant. What's our case? Who's the mazik in our case? Both of them. They're both a mazik. Right? Reuven and Shimon on a chatzar. Reuven every day is mazik Shimon, and Shimon is every day mazik Reuven. Because Reuven stands in his side of the yard and looks at Shimon doing his laundry, and Shimon stands on his side of the yard and watches Reuven do his laundry. Hezek Re'ia on both of them. So therefore, neither of them has a chazak on the other one. You can't use a chazaka of Mechilas Nizakin over here in order to explain that therefore I can't force you to build a wall. And therefore we need our Mishnah to come along and tell us, says the Rush, that in a case where there is a Din Chaluka, we can force you to split. Because both are Mazik each other. And therefore, as long as Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek, if there is a will on either side to subdivide, that's sufficient to say, I no longer want you to be Mazik me, and I no longer want to be mazik you. And since I no longer want to be mazik you, I also have the right to say that you should no longer be mazik me. And therefore I can force you to put up the wall. Now, why is that not going to be relevant in a case where there's ein ba din chaluka, where it's less than eight amos? Why won't you say that? So you could say like the Ramban says, you could say that it's because it's just too small of a space that it's irrelevant. But the problem is that why is it relevant to think about who's mazik who then? If it's too small of a space, so then nobody's mazik each other. If it's not ra'i for diras adam, neither is mazik. In which case, the Rush's whole thing about why they would need to agree to split or not agree to split if it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, but I think there's also a damage if you're forcing somebody into subdividing into spaces that are not usable. So you basically...
But the space is already not usable.
What?
The space is already not usable. I'm saying if it's less than 8 amos, which means that there's less than 4 amos for each person, the approach of the Ramban, we're going to call it Steve's approach, right? It's already not usable right now.
I thought
it's already not usable.
But
I'm saying, but there, if there's not dalet amos for every person, so the way the Ramban views it is that it's already not usable. This is not a space on which people use. It's not usable for people. And that's why there's no hezekriya. Because if you're right, if this space is viewed as the 7 amos that it is, but if you're right, so then that's hezekriya. Because it's usable for something. Which means that
but
you and I, but I'm saying before you divide it, before you divide it, if it's 7 amos,
right,
I understand. So 7 amos, if you're using it right now with a partner, so if that's usable, if we call that usable space, so then that means that you and your partner are being mazik each other every day. If that's true, then the Ramban's approach doesn't work. Because what do you mean? It's usable space. Therefore, you and I, when we use it at the same time, you're being mazik me, I'm being mazik you. In which case, I should be able to force you to split with me, even though it doesn't result in a subdivision of usable space. Because at the end of the day, who cares what the future will be? You're damaging me, and I'm damaging you. So if the svara of the rush is correct, so then according to the Ramban's approach, it's not going to work. Right? So we have a problem. So I saw the following answer in the Chiddushim of Nachum Partavitz, or Nachum Partavitz was a Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. This is the Chavrus of Shmuel Birnbaum. So he suggested the following, another alternative approach to how to understand the halacha of Ein Badin Chalukah and why it can't force a subdivision in such a place. So Rav Nachum suggests the following thing. Now, none of the Rishonim say this, and I don't think it holds up the halacha. But I think for the purposes of Lamdos, trying to figure out why the Mishnah does not enforce a subdivision of land that is less than a Din Chalukah for each person, it's an interesting approach. So Rav Nachum says as follows. Rav Nachum says like this. He says, it's nothing to do with usable space. The fact that we have 7 amos is usable space. That's a sufficient size for everybody. But here's the problem. If you and I are going to subdivide, even to prevent hezek re'ia, you and I have to have a claim against each other. I have to have a tviya, right? In order to be a mazik, in order to be a nizak, so somebody has to do something, and somebody has to have something done to them. In order for something to be done to you, something has to happen, and you then take that claim and go to Beis Din and say, this guy damaged me. So, as an example, right, so I have an apple, right? So you come, I'm holding my apple, and you walk over, and you take a bite out of my apple. Everybody, you remember a couple years ago, there was a guy who did an art piece in at Art Basel, Miami. He had a banana stuck on the wall, and a guy came and ate half the banana. So a guy walked up and just ate half the art piece. It was a pop art show, and the guy, the whole, again, I'm not a huge pop art fan, he stuck a half-peeled banana, glued it to the wall, cemented to the wall, and this is godless. Okay, fine, whatever. So some smart guy walked up and just took a bite. So he took the bite of the banana, right? So the owner of the art piece could say, what do you mean? You're mazik my banana, right? This was a whole banana, now you're missing half the banana. I want to be compensated for the damage you caused. Okay, so we'll fight about what it is. But I have a valid claim. What about an Ein Badin Chalukah? So if the space here is not sufficient for a subdivision, so in order for you to be mazik me, we need to find a space on which I can call mine that you're being mazik. And I need to find a space that is sufficient for you that I'm being mazik. So Rav Nachum says, it's not that it's not ra'ui for Diras Adam. He said, no, Jacob, you're right. It is ra'ui for Diras Adam. Why can't I force you to split? Because in order to get to the point where I can force you to split, I have to have a claim against you. I have to say, well, this is my side, and on my side, you're damaging me. But if it's Ein Badin Chaluk, I can't say that. There's not sufficient space for me to claim that I have a tviya on you. I have no tviya. I'm not a bar hachi. And therefore, there's no standing in the case for me to be able to force you to split. Which is why, if we choose to split, the Mishnah can enforce a wall. Because it's not that there's not sufficient space for human habitation here, and therefore if we put up a wall, it's going to continuously make it smaller and even more unusable. No! 7 amos is sufficient for people to use. You and I want to split? Okay. That means that we're accepting that we're both not going to have a very gross and big backyard. We accept that reality. It is what it is. But once we accept that reality, so then we have to follow the rules. The rules mean we have to put up a wall because Hezek Re'iyah is still Hezek. Once we've agreed that it doesn't matter that you don't have a tzviya on me and I don't have a tzviya on you, it doesn't matter. It's not about tzviyas anymore. Because in functionality, we're agreeing to this. We're being mochel, the damage on each other, and therefore we're saying, but ad kan. But once we agree to put up a wall, then we have to put up a wall. So that's Rav Nachum's suggestion. So I think it's a very nice suggestion. I actually think that this is what the Rush means. When the Rush says that after the Rush's case is slightly different than the case we've been discussing. The Rush's case is you have 15 years, two guys own a backyard, no wall. Ein ba'din chalukah. And then they decide after 15 years, you know what? Enough's enough. We're going to split. We're going to put up a wall. And the other guy says, no, not interested. I don't want to put up a wall. So the question is, can you force him? So if there's a din chalukah, the Rush says, of course you can force him, right? Because we don't care about the chazak. But if there's no din chalukah, you can't force him. Why not? So this is where the Rush comes up with this two-sided thing, that I'm Mazik you, you're Mazik me. So I think the explanation for the Rush is the reason why you can't force him in a din chalukah is because there's no makom for the tefiyah. It's not that I'm mazik you and you're mazik me and therefore everybody back to their corners. I'm mazik you, but you can't claim that I'm mazik you because you can't identify what I'm being mazik. There's no space here on which this claim will fall. And the same thing is true for me. And that's why unless we agree to it, there's no ability to split the property. So I think that's pshat in the Gemara. I think that's the second pshat. That's a very nice pshat from Nach. Okay, fine. So we only have a few minutes left. So let's just finish up this sugya by looking at the next piece of the Gemara. So if you look down on Gimel Amud Aleph, no, I didn't address the chazaka question, but because it doesn't really matter what the chazaka is. Meaning, Rashi thinks that it's a real chazaka, as we're going to talk about in a minute, where you make a chazaka on the land, take ownership of it, and that proves that you own it. Most of the Rishonim think, not like Rashi, that has nothing to do with that. It's a cheskas, some kind of a cheskas kimoshanim, that you're there, you have use of right of use, and therefore you're mesulak. But again, the problem is that Hezek Re'iyah and Nizkei Shechenim in general don't really fit nicely into the bubble of transactions. So when we say chazaka, what we really mean is most likely, as Tosos says it, it's a mechila. And you don't need to have a kinyan on a mechila. So the fact that you have proven that you are mochel is a continuous proof that I have the access to this right of use. But we're going to come back to it in the next piece of the Gemara in more detail.
But it's interesting. The whole concept of Hezek Re'iyah means that one side has to object to it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
It doesn't just exist.
Correct. It's not objective damage.
Right.
It's a somewhat subjective damage. Correct. Correct. Meaning, in the Ramban's view of things, it actually is objective. Because he's saying that you can't have Hezek Re'iyah in a place where people don't use it for habitable living. Right? For example, a public park, there is no Hezek Re'iyah. Right? If you're walking in Central Park, you can't say to somebody who's looking at you, Hezek Re'iyah, stop looking at me. Pasnisht. It's a public domain. Right? I say, we know that there's people who behave that way in Central Park. But it doesn't matter. You don't have that right. But in your own private property, you could say that. That's the Ramban's approach. Saying this is a more subtle approach. It's saying that it has nothing to do with the notion of the privacy of the space. All private spaces are private, no matter their size. But in order to force a split from a partner, there has to be a substantial amount for the claim to fall on. Because in order to split, that requires you to make a formal claim. Otherwise, we can't force you to do anything. But if you want to split, call Kavog, Zantai, do whatever you want. That's the approach of Nachum. I think that's actually a good approach for the Rush.
Both sides, let's say there's a wall, and could both sides then agree to take it down?
Yeah.
They both agree.
Yeah, because they both agree. Meaning, it's not that there's no Hezek Re'iyah here. They're saying, I don't care that you're Mazik me, and I don't care, and you don't care that I'm Mazik you. Fine. Right? Again, because they agree. But that only works if you go with Rav Nachum, right? Because they each have a claim against each other, and they're both saying, we're going to waive the claims. You think that inherently here there's damage, so then it may not be so easy, right? You may not be able to say, oh, well, we both agree to take it down. Oh, but then there's damage. So then you'll have to maybe formally acknowledge that there's damage that you're waiving. Right? You could get to that point. But there might be intermediate steps. Okay. So let's read the next Gemara so that we can move on to the next sugya next week. So the Gemara says it's five lines from where it starts to get wide. So it's right after the two dots. So there's a whole nother gear. So the Gemara here, Lishna Achrina, which we're not going to read in the parentheses. So the Maharam and the Maharsha take it out of the Gemara. It's basically what we said out loud, but it doesn't seem to be part of the original Gemara text. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mai ukimto lemasnisin." Everybody with me? So the very beginning of the line, about five lines from where it starts to get wide. "B'mai ukimto lemasnisin b'she'in ba'din chalukah." So why are we saying then that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's not a din chalukah. That seems to be a gross, unneeded overstatement, right? What should the Mishnah be addressing? All property in which you could properly subdivide. That's what the Mishnah should address, right? The Mishnah is going to come up with a special rule only for a case where you have less than 8 amos of land to split. Come on. That's ridiculous. Why is the Mishnah doing that? So the Gemara says, "Ibe she'in ba din chalukah." If we're talking about where there's no din chalukah, ki ratzu, my havet. If they want to split, who cares that they want to split? Nehadribu, they could just back out. And this, by the way, is also another nice raya for Rav Nachum's approach, which is, why can they continuously back out, right? So let's say we agreed to split. And then after we agreed to split, you know what I say? No, I'm not interested. So the Gemara thinks that works. Why does that work in Ein Ba Din Chalukah? Again, because you have nothing to put your claim on. So you can't say, what do you mean we agreed? Well, you didn't agree to anything. You have nothing for which your claim of agreement to fall on, right? So that makes a lot of sense. So the Gemara is saying, who cares that you're going to tell me that if they want to build, if they decide that they want to build a wall, you could force them to build a wall. You can't force them to do anything, just back out, right? Meaning, forget everything we've learned until now, right? We're going to go with the Pshat and the Mishnah. We're talking about Ein Ba Din Chalukah. It's less than 8 amos. What does the Mishnah say? Hashutaf and Shiratsu Lasos Mechitza. They want to build a wall. Bonus HaKosel Bakarcha. You could force them to build a wall. So the Gemara says, okay, but now that you've told me that our Mishnah is talking about less than 8 amos, so you can't force me to do anything. We just got through saying you can't force me to do anything. Because it's either because it's not Roy, it's not, there's no Tzviya, whatever it is. You can't force me. So if you can't force me, so I'll just back out. So until now I said I was going to be willing to build a wall with you, and now I'm saying forget it, I'm not interested. So what is going on here? So that's the problem that the Gemara wants to address, to which there is either one or two or some other hybrid kind of an answer. How we read the next two answers of the Gemara is a question of the Rishonim. It's either two separate answers, it's one answer that is tied together, or they are completely independent answers that are arguing with each other. So we're going to see right now. So Amar Abasi, Amar Yochanan, answer number one, Shekanu Miyadan. They made a kinyan. They made a kinyan. When these two partners decided to split the property, they made a kinyan. Now, if they made a kinyan, the Gemara says, V'chikanu Miyadan Mayhave. If these guys made a kinyan, who cares? Kinyan Dvarim Ba'amahu. It's a kinyan Dvarim. Why? Why is it a kinyan Dvarim? Because in order to make a kinyan on Karka, what do you have to have? You have to have a proper amount of land. You don't have a proper amount of land here. So any kinyan we make on this land is by definition not a proper kinyan, which means it's just a kinyan dvarim. It's just a verbal agreement.
You don't have ownership. Like this is.
Well, no. Well, they both have ownership together. Remember, we're talking about shutafin, right? They're partners. They own this land together, right? Either in neighborly partners or business partners, but either way, they own this land together. And now they want to split, right? So the Gemara is saying, okay, they want to split, so just back out. You don't want to split anymore. So I can't force you to do anything. So the Gemara says, no, we made a kinyan. So the Gemara says, what kind of kinyan? Can't make a real kinyan here. What kind of kinyan? It's a kinyan dvarim. It's just a verbal agreement to split. That's not a real kinyan. You want to tell me we made a handshake? It doesn't matter. The whole thing is a fake kinyan because you don't have a substantial amount of land on which for a kinyan to fall. Right? So the Gemara says, no. Bishakanu miyadan beruchos. They demarcated the land. They made a kinyan. Granted, it's not a great kinyan. But since they went and they walked the property line, they walked the boundary line of whose side is going to be whose, that is a sufficient kinyan to prevent them from backing out. And once they do that, so then the two partners can't back out anymore. So how do we read the Mishnah? Very simply, the Mishnah is talking about 7 amos, right? We have a 7 amo backyard. We can't force each other to build a wall. We now agree to build the wall. How do we do that? We shake on it. We say, I'm going to take this side, you're going to take that side. And we walk around the property, right? I walk on this side, I walk around my side of the boundary line, and you walk on your side of the boundary line. And now that we've made this deal, that is a sufficient enough kinyan, a transaction, for which now I can force you to engage in building the wall as we had already agreed. That's answer number one. However, Rav Ashi might either expound on Rav Yochanan's answer, argue on Rav Yochanan, or have a different answer altogether that is not an argument. So it's unclear exactly how to read Rav Ashi. We're not going to have time to get into it today, but we're going to just keep in mind for next time, this is what we're going to start with. Rav Ashi Amar, Kigun shahalach ze besoch shalo, vehechzik, vze besoch shalo vehechzik. It's not that they agreed to split the sides of the directions, but rather, I just went on my side of some line and I took possession of this side, and you took possession of that side. Now, one could say that this is just a further explanation of what we just described. Right? What does it mean to be konum yado beruchos? Means to take possession of your side and you take possession of my side. But there's another alternative approach where what Ravashi is actually saying is that you make a formal chazaka. This is how Rashi understands the Gemara. We'll see other interpretations next time. But what Ravashi might be saying is, unlike konum yado beruchos, where I say, I'm going to take that side, you take that side, right? And I'm standing over here, but I'm just looking at it like, okay, here's the line. So, everything to the right is on me, everything to the left is yours. Right? That's kind of the other Baruchos. And where Ravashi is saying is, no. I took my shovel, I took my chalk marker, whatever the wheel that the surveyors use, and I walked the whole boundary and I said, I'm going to show you this is mine, and I put a ditch and I built a little fence and I put some stones, I started to outline. That shows that I'm taking possession of this land. And once you do that, you can't back out anymore. That's the other opinion of Ravashi. Now, we're going to delve into what these two answers have in this Gemara and what the implications are for how to take ownership of land and how to take ownership of a dissolution of a partnership next week when we continue with this Gemara. But those are the two answers to the Gemara, and we're going to take a look at what exactly those two answers have in common or what they're disagreeing about on next Wednesday.